Together we are celebrating the birth of our nation. It has been declared a holiday. Some individuals will use this occasion to get together with family and friends just to commemorate this event. Certain activities are included in this time of remembrance. There are established traditions associated with the 4th of July. There will be parades, concerts, fireworks, and backyard barbecues. And I suppose there will also be some cake, because after all, this is a birthday celebration. Now, for some individuals, it is also vacation time, time to get away. People have left town. They have gone to the beach or to the mountains. But other people have come to town. They want to be in the nation's capital at this time of commemoration, to visit that archives building and view those early documents that established the United States of America. They want to visit the U.S. Capitol building and bear witness to that place where issues are debated and laws passed. They want to take in those events down on the mall and be part of the festivities. Yes, the nation is celebrating its birthday, and each one of us will be part of it, observing it in our own way. While some individuals will concentrate on the outer display of celebration, others will contemplate the reason for the remembrance. Why was a new nation formed in the first place? Why did people leave their country of birth to travel to some far-off land? What exactly did they expect to find when they got here? Why would you leave family and everything that you know to venture into unknown territory? What exactly allows us to do this? Well, I dare say there could have been many reasons. Perhaps their country of origin was experiencing an economic downturn. People were hungry and they were in need. Perhaps there were no jobs and there was no real way to make a living. It may have been despair and misery that allowed individuals to seek a new life free of the confines of their current condition. While they were not aware or even certain what the experience would be in the new land, the anticipation was that it would be better than the one they were currently experiencing. There might have been persecution, religious or social. We are told that many individuals left their homelands simply to be free of what was happening in their homelands. Repression, suppression, and tyranny are excellent reasons to try to go to a far country and start over. Feeling deprived of their ability to think, act, and live in a particular way, they sought a way out. The desire was just to leave their problems behind and begin anew. And you know, there may be times when we can relate. We may have left a job or moved to a different part of the country just to get away from some condition we could no longer tolerate. We wanted to escape our problems, to just leave them all behind and start over again. We might say that this birthday celebration is actually about freedom. This birthday celebration is about our individual freedom. Freedom to come and freedom to go. Freedom to make decisions. freedom to worship where we want to be free to live in a particular community, and to work at something that we enjoy doing. All of us like to think that we are somehow in charge of what comes our way, to live and move in a way that we find desirable and beneficial. The thought occurred to me that when we talk about freedom, sometimes it is not really the desire to be free to do something, but rather it is the desire to be free from something. And many times what we want to be free from is what it is that we consider to be our problems. We feel we would be just so much happier if our problems would just go away. But can we reasonably expect this to happen? We live in this world. And as long as we live in this world, there will be trials and tribulations. Jesus told us that this was so. This is the way of the world. The world bears witness to duality. It acknowledges both rich and poor, sickness and health, harmony and discord. And when we find us experiencing what we don't want, call it a problem. Perhaps the real question we should be asking is, what is a problem? It is the nature of the world to know of duality. It is what it does. But remember, we have freedom to make choices. It is us who name something a certain way. It is us who consider something to be a problem or not. What some consider problems, others see as opportunities, an opportunity to do something else. Now, many of us spend a great deal of time deciding what to do with problems. Again, let us remember Jesus' comment. In this world, there will be trials and tribulations. And so to me, this is a key point. As long as we are living in this world. Now, Jesus was quite clear about how he dealt with this world. His message was, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Now, when he said this, he was still living in this world. He was still walking on this earth plane. He hadn't gone anywhere. What Jesus meant when he said that he had overcome the world was that he had overcome any sense or idea that the world had anything to do with him. He was not governed by the laws made by man, but rather he came under the grace of God. Now, Jesus could speak this way because he had claimed the dominion given to man in that first chapter of Genesis. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and everything in the earth that creepeth, everything that creepeth upon the earth." So God created him in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. Dominion was not given to the Son of Man. Now the Son of Man, that is the one of flesh and blood, the one of skin and bone, the one of mistaken identity and misguided thoughts. This man was not given dominion, and he cannot claim what does not belong to him. Dominion was given to the Son of God, Christ, the one who was not of this world. Jesus overcame the sense of the world as reality. He knew spirit as his reality. Knowing himself in this way is what allowed him to claim everything that belonged to that identity. Now that man of material form, he claims duality as reality, and then he experiences everything that belongs to it. Now in our time of reading, we discover that many authors speak of the earth plane and what belongs to that plane. Eva Bell Berber refers to the earth plane as the valley of shadowy forms and misty thinking. I like that, because you see, it is out of this place that problems arise. And it is this place that we say we want to be free from. Again, the key question remains, where do we live? We live in consciousness. What do we accept and behold in our place of consciousness? Do we bear witness to that Son of Man or to the Son of God? It is our choice. We are free to decide. So let us consider our decision. Let us take a moment to think this through. Can you imagine what it would be like individually if the things we say we want to be free from no longer moved us or stirred us? Then what would there be to be free from? If we knew we were not governed by the laws of man, but rather under the grace of God, then where is the problem? To live this way, we must claim the dominion given to the child of God. Let us notice, when we say that we want to be free of something, something must first take place in us before something can happen out here. The adjustment is always made in us first, not out here. So what do? We understand the world is effect. It is not cause. So let's just leave it alone. What does it have to do with us? We are not of this world. We are of God. The only true freedom is spiritual freedom. It is truth that sets us free. Truth reveals we are not that Son of Man. We are the Son of God. Joe Goldsmith says it this way. Wherever there is a realization of God, man is given his freedom. Not only spiritual freedom, but a spiritual freedom which becomes evident as physical, mental, moral, and financial freedom. This is the freedom that I want. So I must make it personal. But just what is this adjustment that must take place in me before something can happen out here? I know it has something to do with claiming dominion, but how do I do this? I guess I have work to do. Since it is Christ who claims the dominion that sets us free from the problems of the world, then clearly I must know me as Christ. I must know me according to my true name, according to my divine nature, which means that I must release all concepts and ideas that I have accepted about myself. It was the man Jesus who spoke to us about emptying out the old bottles before something new could be put into the bottles. Now those old bottles, They represent old ideas. They contain the old ways of thinking and doing things. And really, many times these are the very problems we say we want to be free from. To receive new revelation requires us to become empty, to have a receptive attitude, one that is waiting to be filled from within. This is harder than we might think. You see, we carry around with us a whole lot of stuff. We even have a name for this. We call it baggage. Baggage of past experience and baggage of personal attachment. We cultivate personal attachments. We attach ourselves to things, to ideas, and to doctrines. We attach ourselves to personalities, and we accumulate things. Now, when we attach ourselves to things, they cling to us, they stay with us, and it is as if we are chained to them in some way. And at times, we appear to even be hugging our chains, just can't let them go. The baggage is carried in consciousness, and it is in consciousness that we let it go. If we want to be free of something, and it continues to stay there, if we continue to dig it up, carry it around, and look at it, where could it go? It's right in front of us. The saying is, if you don't want a stray cat, don't feed it. If we want to be rid of something and it is still there, it is because the change must first take place in consciousness and we have not done it. So once again, I must consider how to know me as a child of God, so that I may claim the dominion that belongs to that child. It really isn't a matter of me trying to be something that I am not. It is not a matter of me trying to become more spiritual. I am already that. It is not a matter of me trying to make something happen, because I of myself can do nothing. I am not wise enough to know what is best. But there is a presence in me that does know these things, and this is where I must be. Where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. It is not a matter of me trying to get more, but rather realizing more of what already is. It is expanded awareness. It is uplifted consciousness, which is why it requires a new model, a new attitude. I really do have to break those invisible chains that keep me clinging to the past. Now, I don't know what all of you are going to do tomorrow, how it is you will be celebrating the birthday on the 4th of July, but please do enjoy yourselves. We are supposed to enjoy life. But I do ask one thing of you. During this time of celebration, at some point, could you pause and remember that this is your spiritual freedom you are celebrating? And the acknowledgement takes place in you. The outer is symbolic of what takes place in you. Can we imagine the sense of relief when we finally let go of that baggage we've been carrying around? Can we imagine the joy that is associated with the realization that these things no longer cling to us? This is our personal freedom. For you see, our baggage is personal, the release is personal, and the experience is personal. I do not carry your baggage, and you do not carry mine. You cannot get rid of my problems, and I cannot free you of your troubles. Each of us is Christ. Each claims dominion for himself. When I become that empty bottle, I am no longer aware of problems or baggage. My freedom comes in knowing that I am just where I am supposed to be at this time, not necessarily where I might think I would like to be, but where I am supposed to be. And the comfort comes in knowing that what I am given to do, I will not meet it alone. An experience is simply an experience. Let us take the meat from it and leave the empty shell. There is no value in carrying around an empty shell. What is past is past. What is over is over. There is no room in the new attitude for what is past and what is over. There is only now. Remember Joel Goldsmith? He reminded us that spiritual freedom becomes evident as physical, mental, moral, and financial freedom. We will always have the fruit of whatever is we invite into and entertain in our consciousness. When we allow God to be God, when our personal attitude is, "Not my will, but thine be done," then we may drop all thought concerning the fruit or the form. Spiritual freedom allows us to give no thought for our life, for what it is we will eat or drink, or what it is we shall put on. Emma Curtis Hopkins gives us those five shouts of liberty, and they each begin with the words, "Steadfastly facing thee." Steadfastly facing thee. That means that focus is directed above appearance, circumstance, and condition. And when we do this, there is nothing else. But why is this so? Because these things no longer get our attention. They no longer move us. They no longer stir us. We know us as Christ, and we have claimed our dominion. It is our birthright to do so. This is true freedom. I leave you with this message. Do not label things or problems as problems or trouble. We have been given freedom, a freedom that the world knows not of. Let us not measure us according to the world's standards. Our freedom is spiritual, and when we can look around us and say, "I have overcome the world," then we will know this is so. Spiritual freedom reveals the abundant life that is befitting of a child of God. We are that child, and this is the life we are to live. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and know us in this way. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? In our time of stillness, we leave the world of outer condition and circumstance. We release any concern we might have sensed or felt. These things do not exist in the presence of God. We cannot carry this world into God's kingdom. The kingdom, it is a holy place, not touched by man's thought or actions and deeds. This holy place is our sanctuary, free from the confines of barriers and restrictions placed by man. And when we find us there in the holy place, we too are free from the confines of humanhood. Give no thought, just rest in the assurance that God is in this place and there is none else. In this coming week, let us go often to the Father's house, the quiet place. It is in us, in the center of our being. It is the place of consciousness that bears witness to the divine presence. We rest and we listen. And then we go about our day, fulfilling our purpose of being about our Father's business. It is He that actually does the work. We are but the avenue. Let us know that this is so. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge Him, so that He may lift your consciousness and give you His peace. Amen.